frog in the window will sing for you. The frog in the window will smile for you with his straw hat and his cane. And you know that you will not be the same, 'cause the frog in the window will dance for you. He'll tap out the rhythm in his bright red shoes. And if you ask why this is done, he'll say you're when you will not be.
You are listening to In the Window with DJ Frogs on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting round the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives and more.
Reflecting on the seas, 100 dozen mermaids smile as I pass through the haze. The sound of familiar voices of yonder days. A guy, oh I forget his name, and Jesus was a dropout, a king who bore no crown, only his long hair flowing and blowing in the wind, and Jesus was a fisherman. That's all he had to say. Oh yes, then now follow me, disciple. Lead your lives a different way. And he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, both the draggled and lame. Jesus was a good guy who lived on figs and wine. A political revolutionary out to let you have a good time. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Oh no, no. The sun, it was rising just to present his cross of flame. Did he imagine at that moment 200 million hypocrites would print his name? Oh, and were he now to come down, those hypocrites would crucify him again.
was Simon Finn and Jerusalem from the 1970 album Past the Distance. I was looking through two Kevin Coyne albums, Marjorie Razor Blade and Sandy Stomp, trying to decide which track to play, and I couldn't. I managed to narrow it down to six and I thought, sod it, I'll play them all. So here's the first, the title track from the 1973 album Marjorie Razor Blade.
Marjorie Razor Blade is as keen, as sharp as can be. Will always settle my problems for me. She will sort out all my nasty neighbors. Cut a swathe right through there. Undignified ways. And if they talk about me behind my back, she will not play their game. She will not play that game. She will not play their game. Oh, Marjorie Razor Blade. Oh, what a picture she made. With her long and fusty dress and the hair that she plaited best. Oh, what a woman, what a tongue, what an abrasive manner. And if anyone upsets me, they will regret it, they will regret it. Oh, she's mine, though she's over 59. She's experience of the world far beyond my years. Oh, mother me, Marjorie, a razor blade. Mother me, Marjorie, oh, razor blade.
Kevin Coyne and Marjorie Razor Blade. Next, Talking to No One.
Talking to no one is strange. Talking to someone is stranger. You might be in danger, yeah, if you say too much in this world.
The third track from Marjorie Razor Blade is Nasty. That is, it's called Nasty, I don't mean it's unpleasant.
I've taken out your dog, your pet rabbit and your frog.
all your mail. You realize you could go to jail. Scream and scream and scream, but you still shattered my every dream. Days for you. You've gone away on long holidays too. Left me in charge. Left your poodles at large. Wipe up the mess. Next thing I know, you had to be wearing a dress.
More from Kevin Coyne later, but now over to Uncle Buffo.
Last time I said we would be playing an evening with Quentin Crisp over six shows, but I've had a quiet word with Frogs and he's agreed that I can have more time and I can now play them to you in only four parts. That's right, isn't it, Frogs?
Yes, Uncle.
Right, well, while I'm playing this for listeners, why don't you go and put a cold compress on that eye? It will help bring down the swelling.
Yes, Uncle.
Now, Tantony lad, I don't want you to think that violence is the answer.
No, Uncle. But he did yell, didn't he?
Like a little girl.
Yeah, a little girl.
And here is part two.
Beauty is a complete waste of time. Because without even knowing it, we still cringe in the shadow of classical ideals of beauty. The Greeks were mad about the human body. So much so that during its heyday, Athens must have looked like an outfitter's window during a weaver's strike. But it was no help. Not one of the great classical statues has the least physical individuality which would make it desirable or even interesting. So beauty you will never need. But I can give you further proof. There was once a man whose name was Mr. Tillett, but he was known as the Angel. He was shorter than I am, but he was twice as wide, and his head was as long from the chin to the crown as the skull of a donkey. His pate was bald, but the rest of his body was covered with fur, right down to his fingernails. When his employer first saw him, she fainted. Nevertheless, he made more money in 4 short years as a wrestler than the divine Joe Louis made out of a lifetime in the boxing ring. Now, to me, Mr. Tillett's life was a positive parable of style. He took that which made him so like himself, regardless of whether it made him better or worse than other people, and he put it in its appropriate setting. He put it where it would do the most good. And that, to my mind, is what all of you have to learn to do. I've been forbidden to rattle on about the amount of money that Mr. Tillett made. I've been told that I equate wealth with style. I don't, but I would say this. To a physicist, money would be the solid state of style. You understand that? You can convert your style into riches and enjoy them, or you can enjoy your style just the way it is. There's no other connection between the two. And of this also, I can give you an example. Until recently, there was in Soho, the hooligan district of London, a woman known as the Countess. But in spite of this, she had in fact no fixed address and no means of support, and her body was perpetually bent double from a lifelong habit of looking in the dustbins to see if she could possibly find there something she could sell to a kind friend, or if not, that she herself could use. And one day, in a trash can in the most expensive part of London, she found a complete backless bead dress. She longed for night to fall, so that she could nip into a dark doorway and try it on. But by about 6:30, her patience had worn out. It was barely dusk, but she went into a churchyard in the middle of London, and there she proceeded to take off her clothes. This caused a crowd to collect. And the crowd caused a policeman to collect. And the next day, in court, when the magistrate said, "And what exactly were you doing, stripping among the dead?" she replied, "I was doing what any woman would be doing at that hour, changing for dinner." So you see, however grandiose the style you may have chosen for yourself, you will not need any actual money to support it. And more than that, You won't even need talent. Now, I never saw Sarah Bernhardt on the stage, but I have seen a strip of movie showing her coming into the home stretch in Camille. The death scene. On a rather tatty Empire couch sits Armand, and he supports Miss Bernhardt in a very defensive sort of way, as though she were some kind of a firecracker, which in a way she was. And she lies opposite him, and she wears a minimum risk nightdress. And she has clown's makeup, and her hair is right down into her eyes. Now, someone must have told her it was a silent movie. But did she care? No, the moment the cameras began to turn, her black lips started to move faster than those of a policeman giving corrupt evidence. And when her lips moved, her eyes began to roll. And when her eyes moved, a hand shot out into the air, returning later to give her a terrible blow on the chest. Sometimes it was one arm, sometimes it was the other arm, sometimes it was both arms together, and then as abruptly as all this activity had begun, it stopped. Her arm swung down in front of the couch like the limb of a rag doll. Now, I am not just trying to foist upon you my own Philistine reactions. This movie was shown at the National Film Theatre in London, and that is a building to which no one can obtain admission unless he can prove that he comes from the cheese and wine belts of England. But it made no difference. The audience choked with derisive mirth. A man near me fell out into the gangway. His feet twiddled in the air. La divine, indeed. It wasn't her acting that made Miss Bernhardt divine. It was her nerve. Oh, and it was the coffin that she slept in at night. And it was the cheetah that dragged her on a gold chain through the rooms of her house. Not that I'm suggesting that any of you should keep a pet. We've got enough dumb friends without them. I'm only explaining that you won't need any talent in order to be able to project your chosen lifestyle. And nowadays, you don't even need virtue. You no longer have to be an object of public veneration or even affection. You can be the focus of contempt or even downright hatred. After all, as a test of whether you're still in touch with somebody else, being loved can never be a patch on being murdered. That's when someone really has risked his life for you. And if you've decided on depravity as the fluid in which you will suspend your monstrous ego, then you have the most wonderful examples before you, or rather behind you, because nearly all of them are in history. In medieval France, living at the same time as Joan of Arc, there was a great French nobleman called Gilles de Rais, and he murdered 150 choir boys in a lifetime. Now, quantity is not style. All the same, it's difficult not to be impressed, isn't it? When he was caught, De Rais brought off an effect which I wouldn't advise any of you to attempt if you're just beginners. He reversed his style. Now, before you can do this, you must be absolutely sure that the image that you're taking up is more blinding than the one that you've abandoned. On the first day of his trial, Drey was his usual imperious self, refusing to take any notice of what his accusers told him, on the grounds that they were not his equals. On the second day, he repented. He confessed so long, so loud, so much, that the bishop, who was trying his case, rose and covered with a cloth the face of the crucifix hanging on the courtroom wall. Now, I tell you this only to show you that style begets style. That means that when you've completed your image of yourself, you won't be surrounded by born receivers of the news. Your style will magnetize toward you other stylists, and you will be able to enjoy them and yourself. Finally, when he was condemned to death, Drey cried out, "I am redeemable." And this brought people from far and wide throughout France to pray for his soul. Now, if this is not style, it is at least gesture on a national scale. All brought about by one man. But, of course, before you can build some such dizzy, dazzling structure as a monument to yourself, you must first get the foundations of your private life absolutely solid. From now onward, I think you should try to regard your home as your dressing room, and the world will be your stage. And at home, there must be nothing which doesn't represent the kind of person you have decided to become. It doesn't matter if your house is full of gadgets which are advertised on television every 20 minutes. They've got to go. And when you've got rid of the superfluous things, you start on the unnecessary actions. From now onward, there should be no doodling and no dawdling, and I used to say there must be no daydreaming. But now I've changed my opinion, and I think you're allowed your daydreams up to the age of 25. But after that, they may become an alibi. Do you understand me? It's no good running a pig farm badly for 30 years while saying, really, I was meant to be a ballet dancer. By that time, pigs will be your style. And it follows logically, if there's to be no doodling and no dawdling, there are to be no evening classes. Do you have evening classes here? Well, it's all right if you're going to learn to sing and dance, because these are activities, the results of which you take out into the world with you and wear like a crown. People who've learnt to sing will always have richer, rounder voices. People who've learnt to dance will always have bigger, bolder movements. But as for pottery and basket weaving, what good are they? The moment the doors of the Evening Institute clang shut behind you, you're where you started. On the way home, you might get into an argument with a stranger at a bus stop and be left saying, "Well, I can't express myself. You'll have to come and see my baskets." And when you've got rid of the unnecessary actions, you start on the superfluous people. I've been forbidden to say that each of you must live alone. I've been told my attitude toward cohabitation is glib. So I will lean toward true love, sufficiently to say that if you're actually stuck with somebody, you better stagger on with them. It's the very best I can do. Until recently, I had no opinions whatsoever about cohabitation. But in the last 2 years, I've become a kind of mail order guru. People write to me and then they come and see me. Now, most of the people who do this are very young indeed, and I know why they visit me. It's in order to get the edge on their parents. Recently, a girl of 15 turned up. She got me to write my name on a piece of paper, and the moment I stopped, she said, "I can't make up my mind whether to show this to my mother or not." She was going to save it for her darkest hour. When her mother says, "You dress yourself like a harlot. You do nothing that your father wishes. You use this house as a hotel." She's going to say, "You don't know the half of it, Mother. I've met Quentin Crisp." And the other people who come to see me are women in middle life. And over again they ask me the same burning question. Is there life after marriage? The answer is no. The constant proximity of another person will cramp your style in the end. Unless that person is somebody you love, and then the burden will become unbearable at once. How can anybody begin each dawn with a fresh assault upon his lifestyle if the moment he opens his eyes, he hears a voice beside him say, "And another thing"? And if going around in pairs is bad, even worse is going around in a heap. Never be seen tagging along at the tail end of a demonstration. Never be found hopping up and down on the fringe of a pop group. And above all, never, never strike. Do you have strikes here? Whenever I talk to men about strike action, they always say, "It's all right for you. You don't have a wife and kids." I can tell from the sound of their voices. Men regard a family as suffering incurred by accident and bravely born. Even so, you must never strike. There is danger in numbers. They may nudge you into performing an action which is beyond the limits of your chosen style. And in public, the striker makes demands on the dreary grounds that he is one of many, all of whom are alike. But the stylist asks for what he wants in the name of the fact that he is unique. And everything in the world, even people, is subject to the law of scarcity value, because deep down there is only one of each of you. When the time for serious bargaining comes, you will win. But of course, it's not enough merely to get the foundations of your home life squared up. You also have to decide what you're going to do in the outer world. Now, some of you may be so old-fashioned that you still have jobs. If this is so, try not to get stuck in work where you only deal with things. And I include the highest possible level of things. Sculpture, books, paintings, they are only objects, just like washing machines, but not so useful. it would be difficult for me to translate the dilemma that lies before the visual artist into American terms, because I've only been here a little while. But in England, if I could show you a huge great piece of concrete with a hole in it, everybody would say, it's a Henry Moore. But if I could show you Henry Moore himself, nobody would know who he was. So all that chipping, all that chiseling, it's been in vain. You must have a job where you deal with people, because then every waking working hour you will be secretly polishing up your techniques of self-projection. There are plenty of such jobs available. There's preaching. All the great evangelists of the world have been American, so this shouldn't be difficult for you. Before any of you were born, I saw Amy Semple Macpherson, magnificent, dressed in white from head to foot, with red, nay, scarlet hair. And she said, "The Lord has sent out his angels on speed bikes of mercy." You could try something like that. Well, if you don't want to be a preacher, you could be a teacher. Teaching is also very stylish, because the material in which you're working is nearly always children and teenagers, and they have built-in publicity value. It doesn't matter whether you encourage them or repress them, you're in. And the great teaching stylist was a man called Mr. Braithwaite. He wrote a book called To Sir With Love. It caused a great sensation when it was first published. But in that book there is not one sentence about education, about whether history is easier to teach than geography. It is full of what the children, their parents, and the other members of the staff thought about the writer. So now we know that whatever anyone says they're teaching, their subject is always themselves. Teaching is for teachers, not for students. And if you'd known that when you were at school, all your sufferings would have been at least explicable. But if you can't be a teacher, if there's nothing that you know and they don't, then you can try politics. And the great political stylist was Mrs. Perón. Not the one you got now, the one before that. I don't know if any of you realize in what a personal and at the same time pervasive way she ruled her kingdom. In England, spelling primers begin with the words "the cat sat on the mat." No wonder literacy is at a low ebb. When the first glimpse of it is this banal and even distasteful piece of information. But in Argentina, spelling books began, "I love Evita." And the crowning moment of her entire career was when she stood up in her box in the opera house in Buenos Aires to make a speech. She lifted her hands to the crowd, and as she did so, with a sound like railway trucks in a siding, the diamond bracelet slid from her wrist. when the expensive clatter had died away, her speech began, "We the shirtless."
An Evening with Quentin Crisp was recorded in New York on February 22nd, 1979. Parts 3 and 4 will be in the next two shows. If you can't wait, then you can listen or download the whole thing free at Ubunet. You're listening to DJ Frog's In the Window with Uncle Buffo's Comedy Spot on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting round the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives and more.
Thank you, Uncle Buffo. One last track from Kevin Coyne's Marjorie Razorblade, it's Good Boy.
Good boy, good boy, good boy, good boy. Good boy, good boy, good boy, good boy, good boy, well done. Good boy, excellent, head boy, good boy, oh good, good boy, good boy, good lad, well done. Good boy, good lad, well done. Good boy, good boy, good boy, good boy, you're just a lick spittle, lick spittle, lick spittle, lick spittle. Good boy, 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 good boy. All your days you've done the right thing. You never went away when you went out to play. You fetched the shopping for Mrs. Baxter down the road. You carried her load. You were good, you were fine. You did all the right things. And your father got down on his knees and said and prayed and said, "Thank you, Lord, for sending me such a son, such a son, such a son, such a bum, such a bum, such a son, such a bum, such a son, such a bum, such a bum, such a son, such a bum, such a son, 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 such a son." You're just a lick spittle, lick spittle, lick spittle, lick spittle. Good boy, good boy, good boy, well done. Good boy, excellent, good boy, head boy, good boy, good boy, good boy, good boy, good boy, good boy, well done. Good boy, well done. Good boy, well done. Good boy, good boy, good boy, you're just a lick spittle, lick spittle, lick spittle, lick spittle. Good boy, good boy, good boy, good.
Now two tracks from Kevin's 1980 album Sanity Stomp. First, The World Speaks.
Otto's first piece, Robert's first piece, Reg first piece, Ernest your piece, Ted first piece, Clive, it's a piece, Stanley, your piece, John Peel, piece, Cecil, a piece, Dandelion Records, piece, Sheffield United, a piece, Derby County, piece. John, piece, Yoko, piece, Bernard, piece, Bernard Manning, peace. Fred, peace. Chris, peace. Ernest, peace. Dagmar, peace. Albert, peace. Victoria, peace. Victoria, peace. Peace, Victoria. Ramakrishna, peace. Who's Ramakrishna? The Guru Maharaji, peace. George Harrison, peace. Victor, peace. Alan, peace. Alan? Oh, yes, peace. Deirdre, peace. Who's Deirdre? Davinia, peace. Doris, peace. Indra Devi, peace.
Who's Indra Devi?
Colin, peace.
Oh, yes.
Christine, peace.
Christine.
Courgettes, peace. Cabbages, peace. Lettuces, peace.
Potatoes, peace.
Gladioli, peace.
Oh, yes, gladioli.
Brahmins, peace.
Brahmins.
Jesus, peace.
Definitely.
Jack, peace.
Yes.
Jonah, peace.
Yes.
Gillian, peace.
Yes.
Jock, peace.
Yes.
Glasgow,
yes.
Peace.
Celtic,
Gordonstown, peace.
Yes, yes, yes.
Johnny Griffin, peace.
Oh, yes.
Peace. Peace.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace.
Brian, peace.
Peace.
Shut up, Brian.
That was The World Speaks by Kevin Coyne. And the last from him is My Wife Says.
Give us a kiss. 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 Give us a kiss.
My wife tells me I've found the sea.
Give us a kiss.
Now Real Big Fish and Hiding in My Headphones.
I'm dancing to the beat in my head, in my head. I'm dancing to the beat in my head. I'm dancing to the beat in my head, in my head. I'm dancing to the beat in my head.
I'm hiding in my headphones.
Hiding in my headphones.
Gonna turn them up so loud. Gonna drown this whole world out. I'm hiding in my headphones.
Hiding in my headphones.
And everyone can see that they won't bother me. So get out of my way. 'Cause I don't care what you have to say.
Into the big old world around me, and I hear the fuss of fights in your seat. Hiding in my headphones where you find me. Hey mister, I don't mean to be rude, but it's too early to have an attitude. So I turn up the volume, take a journey. Hiding in my headphones, that's where I'll be.
Now wanna hear the chatter of the businessman. Now wanna hear the jingle of the ice cream van. Now wanna hear the flapping and the pigeon coos. Now even wanna listen to the morning news.
Just dancing to the beat in my head, in my head. Just dancing to the beat in my head. Just dancing to the beat in my head, in my head. Just dancing to the beat in my head.
I'm hiding in my headphones.
Hiding in my headphones.
Gonna turn them up so loud. Gonna drown this whole world out. I'm hiding in my headphones.
Hiding in my headphones.
And everyone can see that they won't bother me. So get out of my way. 'Cause I don't care what you have to say.
This finger's for you, this finger's for you. Then flash the damn light and blow your horn too. This finger's for you, this finger's for you. When you sit me down the road, you know just what you can do. So this is for the guys, not the girls or the sexy chicks. This for the guys, them who's got their bad habit. I'm in my whip and I'm driving, listen music. They come around in my lane, trying to crash it.
Tempo is the rhythm, bass on my feet. Bouncing like a drum across the concrete. People in the city look so intense. I can see them talking but they make no sense. The fuss of fights in your seat. Hiding in my headphones where you find me. Hey mister, I don't mean to insult, but to make small talk would be difficult. So I turn up the volume, take a journey. Hiding in my headphones, that's where I'll be.
No wanna hear the beeping of the taxi horn. No wanna hear the busker playing saxophone. No wanna hear the fella holding out the paper. Not even wanna hear an hello from me neighbor.
Just dancing to the beat in my head, in my head. Just dancing to the beat in my head.
Dancing to the beat in my head, in my head. Just dancing to the beat in my head.
I'm hiding in my headphones.
Hiding in my headphones.
Gonna turn them up so loud. Gonna drown this whole world out. I'm hiding in my headphones.
Hiding in my headphones.
And everyone can see that they won't bother me. So get out of my way.
This finger's for you, this finger's for you. Can flash the damn light and blow your horn too. This finger's for you, this finger's for you. When you see me down the road, you know just what you can do.
If you're looking for trouble, you will get it on and double. You don't know who you're dealing with. I'm a rude boy from out of the town.
Dancing to the beat in my head, in my head. Just dancing to the beat in my head. Dancing to the beat in my head, in my head. Just dancing to the beat in my head. The beat in my head, in my head. Just dancing to the beat in my head.
And to play us out is Blossom Dearie and Everything I've Got.
Everything I've got. I have eyes for you to give you dirty looks. I have words that do not come from children's books. There's a trick with a knife I'm learning to do. But everything I've got belongs to you. I've a powerful anesthesia in my fist, and the perfect wrist to give your neck a twist. Hammerlock holes, I've mastered a few. But everything I've got belongs to you. Share for share, share alike. You get struck each time I strike. Me for you, you for me. I'll give you plenty of nothing. I'm not yours for better, but for worse. And I've learned to give the well-known witch's curse. I've a terrible tongue and a temper for two. But everything I've got belongs to you. Sleep and sleep, sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep, sleep and sleep, sleep and sleep. I'll give you plenty of nothing. I'm not yours for better, but for worse. And I've learned to give the well-known witch's curse. I've a terrible tongue and a temper for two. But everything I've got, ooh, it's not a lot. But everything I've got belongs to you.
If you have been, then thanks for listening.